to do that in heaven a long time. This preaching part's probably what might be going on in heaven. However, having said that, this is part of our worship too. Listening to the proclamation of the Word of God. And this is the ministry of the Word. Thank you for all the priesthood of believers here. People serving the Lord with what He has put in their hand is beautiful and uplifting to the body. And I want to speak with you a little bit today, touching on what Edward Fudge talked about last week. What time is it? What time is it? And of course, he talked about the time until. We're in the time until. And he said, we're in between times. And the Jewish folks and a lot of folks, and I even, when I read the Bible, thought this, when Jesus came, the regular world would end and a whole new world would begin. You know, one big circle, then at the point here is the other circle right by it. But that's not what happened. Our Lord is typically full of surprises. And so the old world stayed and the new world began, and they're going on all at the same time. So we're living already, but not yet, in between the times. And Jesus Himself was excited about this time for us. And that's something that, you know, imagine this. Imagine Moses being very upset because he did not get to build the ark. Or imagine Joshua being upset because he only got to spread apart the Jordan River and not the Red Sea. Or Elijah crying before the Lord in his sort of way, saying, Lord, Nathan got to go talk to a king and tell him a parable. I never got to tell a parable. You didn't hear it from these guys because they were willing to live in their time. But, you know, you can look back at other times and say, man, I wish that was my time. You know, and I tell you right now, I wish I could be with Jesus. I wish I walked around Galilee with Jesus. That's not my time. I said, Lord, what are you doing about that? He was excited about our time. Very excited, saying, if I go away, the Spirit gets to come. Jesus, we don't want you to go away. No, if I go away, the Spirit comes. This is your time. What are we doing about it? Would y'all go ahead and pass? I got some things to pass out. And I'm going to take an overview of the Spirit today. Like flying in a plane. Since we have the whole Bible, a lot of people in the church didn't even have the whole Bible. They just had one book, three books, five books. I'm just going to take an aerial view. And it's fun. Flying is fun. So just enjoy this. However, I do have a specific scripture to look at as they're passing that out. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And Todd, I wish I did have the book that you had, but I just got the little thin version that helps me turn fast. But more power to you on that. Acts chapter 1 is the time when Jesus is leaving in earnest, and He's going back to the Father, and He's excited about this time in between for us, our time. And He says, I'll just start reading. In the first book, Theophilus, I have dealt with all Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up, after He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. Interesting first verse. Jesus started, He was talking to them directly all the time, but now He's giving commands through the Holy Spirit. Very interesting. I mean, I thought you wanted to talk to Him directly. Now He's working inside of them. It's one thing to be with Jesus, but Jesus says, you know what? I want to kind of be on the inside now. He's giving commands through the Holy Spirit to them. Okay, verse 3, He presented Himself alive to them. And verse 4, and while He was staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from Me. John baptized with water, but I baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, this is the time I've been telling you about all along. The Spirit is coming. Well, Jesus, we don't want you to leave. No, this is the time I've been talking about. This is your time. Well, are you sure, Jesus? Yes. And maybe in their ears was ringing John 16. At the upper room, Jesus said to them, if I go, the Spirit will come and He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, I don't know if I like conviction. You know, convicting the world of sin because maybe they don't even understand what it is, of righteousness, because the world's righteousness is just really rags. And of judgment because they really don't even know how to judge. And that the world has been me. And the Spirit says, I'm going to be convicting you, but Jesus says, this word of conviction means to expose or put in the light. Now, the Spirit, I got buddies and they talk about I'm feeling conviction of the Spirit a lot. It's always negative. Like, the Spirit convicted me of this. And you know what? That it does. He does correct us. He does expose. But part of what light does is to illuminate. It manifests, it demonstrates. That's the other side of it. The Spirit of God wants to expose sin. He wants to expose our false views of what makes us righteous, comparative righteous, like I'm better than you, my doctrine's so good, you're this crazy. You know, all these ways we can put each other down. And a real judgment, like the devil's schemes have been judged. They're coming to nothing. Well, it doesn't look like it to me. I saw a man with $3 billion cheating people. It's coming to nothing. You don't even know that he can't enjoy one thing he has. And you enjoy 1,600 things. But it's coming to nothing. The Spirit is working to convict us of positive things, good things. Like Paul says in Romans 9, he says, the Spirit has convicted me about the salvation of my people. Well, I didn't know you needed convincing. Yeah, the Spirit works on you to convince you of the good things, to convince you that you're a child of God. Well, I don't always believe that. The Spirit's working to help you walk in it, to enjoy it. So that's this convictional stuff. Verse 5. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, listen to this interchange with Jesus from Acts 1. When they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What are you going to do, Jesus? You've done a lot of stuff. Now you've been risen from the dead. Now what are you going to do? Well, let's see what Jesus says. Well, it's not for you to know. That wasn't Jesus' point, though. The next point, verse says it right here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You mean you want us to do something? Jesus, you've been doing... Jesus, we love it when you do stuff. Well, I do too. But he says, no, it's your time. This is your time. I'm going to the Father. This is your time. Well, Jesus, I'm not ready. I know. But remember, the Spirit is coming on you. You will be ready. So here's what they do. Well, after he said these things, they were looking on high. He lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were standing there gazing in the heaven, he went away. Kind of wonder, man, that's kind of a weird exchange. Do I get this yet? Here comes two angels. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Well, I thought we'd just like to watch. I like to watch Jesus. Jesus is the best game in town. I like to watch Jesus. You are witnesses. This is your time. Why are you standing just looking? So the Spirit of God on us is a powerful thing. He internalizes Jesus. He gets him into our hearts. Jesus said this, you know, he'll dwell in you. He universalizes Jesus. You know, Jesus is just in Palestine. Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Through the Spirit, he's with us here. He's with our brothers in Kenya. He's with the people in France, and our sisters and brothers in China. Right now, at the same time, he's with us. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit's ministry, I guess Jesus might have seen this, he intensifies who Jesus is. Now, we had to get away from Jesus to see it. And this happens, like, I don't know if you've been to the Alps. I know, you look at those big mountains, and you look right up at them, you don't even get what they are. You can stand under Jungfrau, 13,700 feet, something like that, and you're like, that is huge. But you got to go back to Interlaken about 25 miles away, and then you can see Jungfrau. You can see it. And you're like, oh, I had no idea it was that big. Jesus is that way. You can be right up close to him, and you just see the hem of his garment. Now through time, we can appreciate Jesus. The Spirit is letting us appreciate our Lord. Like we were singing today, we can appreciate it. He's intensifying our experience of Christ. Is this making sense at all? Is this okay? I want to take this aerial view with you of the Holy Spirit. And here's how this little chart works. You can fill it out. You can change the names. I'm going to alliterate with P's. You don't have to do that. You can change the words that fit it. But I start in the Old Testament about the Spirit of God. Who is the Spirit of God? What is the Spirit of God doing? I give the verses there. In the middle is the scripture from Hebrew 11:2, but in the Septuagint, I guess, Taz, when you say probably most Christians read from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the scripture, it happens to add another thing that the Messiah, Hebrews 11:2 talks about the Spirit on the Messiah. And it's in this, it's in our bulletin. You can read the article about it. I comment a lot about it. And it's the Spirit of God that came on the Messiah. Here's what it looked like. He gave Jesus, the Messiah, wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and godliness and fear of the Lord. The godliness part was not in some of the Hebrew, but the Septuagint has godliness. In other words, the Spirit of God prompted Jesus to be godly, to look toward God. And you know what? We're going to find out He really did this. I don't know if that helps. You can throw out the godliness part if you just want to read the Hebrew stuff, but that's in there. They got it from somewhere. This is just a different version that the Christians read. I just wanted you to have it. The chart works. We're going to look at the Old Testament. The second part, do you know of a time in Jesus' life this was shown? And the third part, do you know of a time in the church the Spirit acted this way? So in Jesus' life, the church. And we'll just kind of fly through this. But the first verse in this, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was complete, that was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered or moved over the face of the deep. You know, so the wind of God. My version says the wind of God. Well, it's like you can translate it that way, but the wind never hovered, and wind was never talked of God until the kamikaze Japanese talked about it, basically, divine wind. But in the Hebrew, it's talking about the Spirit of God. And people are like, oh, that's the Trinity right there. And yeah, it is kind of like the Trinity in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It sure is. Look at what happens. God, the Father, is creating, pushing, and we know from in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus, created. And the Spirit of God moves upon the face. Well, I thought the Spirit was... No, Jesus is the Creator. But the Spirit is the refiner. He's the refiner. Maybe does something like this happen in Jesus' ministry? Okay, God the Father sends Jesus. At His baptism, who shows up? The blessed Spirit of God to refine His ministry, work His ministry, to work the plan, and to bring it all together. Okay, well, maybe that's just coincidental. How about the origin of the church? The Father planned it. The Father worked it. Jesus' blood brought the church into being. But who comes on the day of Pentecost to really start shaping it and forming it? The Spirit of God. He's shaping us and forming us. This is the way that the Father moves. It's this beautiful pattern of the Trinitarian movement of God. And so how do you define the Spirit? Well, you know, I love, Taz, you talked about Gordon Fee this morning. Great scholar who's a Pentecostal. He says God's empowering presence. That's who it is for him. That helps. I don't think it says enough. Some people, classic theology, God's manifest presence is the Holy Spirit. That helps. Because He manifests the presence and the characteristics of God. I like that. I know, Leah, that's one of your favorites. I like also God's effective presence. He is effecting, bringing into effect, realizing what the Father and the Son have been doing and working on. He's realizing it, bringing it to us. Does this kind of make sense? You see the pattern? I won't spend this long on all of them, by the way. But He's the Spirit of purpose. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees, says Ezekiel 26. The Spirit has got a purpose. And the purpose is what the Father and Son relationship, He wants to create communion. He wants to bring the world, whatever's created, into the Father and Son, love and communion. That's what he's working to do. Well, that sounds too easy. Well, it's not always easy. But it's beautiful. It's magnificent. He's prompting, constantly prompting. A next one. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore the line apart with his bare hands. Well, if you know the scripture, it's Samson. Samson was a mighty guy, except only with the Spirit of God. The Spirit is powerful, very powerful. But as for me, here comes Micah, the prophet Micah. But as for me, I'm filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might. People didn't like what Micah said. They were mad at him all the time. The Spirit of the God came in him and made him so strong. He was okay. Water off a duck's back. I have work to do for this God. Did you ever see this in Jesus' ministry? Well, we know from the... It says after he was tempted, he says he came in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus was powerful in the Spirit of God. Did you ever see this in the church? It says in Romans 15, 13, we abound by the power of the Spirit unto hope. It's a lot of verses on the power of the Spirit. God is full of power. The day of Pentecost, what happened? Flames and tongues of fire and a mighty rushing wind, which would have scared every one of us. We've heard tornadoes. This was tornadic kind of stuff going on. The Spirit is amazingly powerful. The next one from Moses. Moses had some trouble, and he longed before the Lord. He says in Numbers, would that all Lord's people were the prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. The Spirit is a spirit of prophecy. And that's not just telling the future, can include it, but it's telling forth, proclaiming forth the Word of God. It's foretelling and forthtelling, both of them. Balaam on the donkey, when he saw Israel, and the Spirit of God came on him and he uttered his oracle. Balaam was a prophet. He said, I'm going to curse Israel. The Spirit of God came on him. He didn't curse Israel. He spoke the Word of God. Another one, King Saul, of all people. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon you mightily, Saul, and you shall prophesy and be changed into another man. And he was, when he was anointed as king of Israel. Saul had a great start and an abysmal finish. Did you ever see this in Jesus' ministry? Well, Jesus, he talked all the time. He foretold things. He foretold things. He even talked about the fall of Jerusalem. He was a prophet, and they called him a prophet. In the early church, Agabus was a great prophet. Paul came before him, said, Paul, give me your belt. Paul gave him his belt. He bound his own hands and feet. I don't know what that looked like, you know, but he said, the man that owns this belt is going to be bound just like this in Jerusalem. Well, that was a bad thing. Paul, you're going to have some real trouble ahead of you. Agabus was a prophet, and he said it in the Spirit of God, is what it said. Prophecy from the Spirit. The next one. From Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to proclaim release for the captives. Proclamation. The Spirit pushes the proclamation of this wonderful Word of God. And He will make it so much that you can't not talk. You'll be, you know, I've got to say something. Did He do it with Jesus? Well, Jesus quoted the Scripture. This is, Jesus said this, Isaiah 61, and He did it in Luke 4. This is the very thing I'm about, Jesus said. Proclaiming the good news, release of the captives, and all this Isaiah, I'm about proclaiming. And the Spirit was strong on Jesus. It's also big in the church. Acts chapter 4, the church had gathered and they were praying. And Peter had been persecuted, Peter and John, I think. And they all came to the church and were sitting down having a big prayer. And the Spirit came. And do you remember what happened to the building? It shook. Power again. And they were filled with the Spirit and boldly spoke the Word. Because of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit's work. He works on this for us. Can you be bold? Boldness means openness. If you want another word for it. You feel open to speak the Word. In our culture, the number one thing that is being worked on Christians is to just shut up. It's okay to be a Christian in private, in your car, singing your tunes. Don't roll your window down. Don't let that out in public. That's what the world wants. That's not what we're about. We're going to win. Boldness. The Spirit's going to push us out there. Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." And I call this peace. Jesus is a peacemaker. It says, "Glory to God in the highest," when he was born. "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Jesus was the Prince of Peace. And he said, I don't give to bring peace, I give a sword. Jesus also caused a lot of trouble. But he is the Prince of Peace. Also, greatly the Prince of Peace. And peace is what the Spirit brings. And Romans 14, 17, it says, "The kingdom of God is not about eating, drinking, all this stuff. It's about righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit." Peace. It's bringing peace. Part of the peace is the communion. The communion of the Spirit. It says, you know, if I was going to say a blessing on this church, I'd say the love of Jesus Christ, the grace of the Father, or it's the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be on you. 2 Corinthians 13, 13. That's a wonderful blessing for the church. The Lord, the Spirit creates communion constantly. So it says in Ephesians 4, maintain, church, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is a big thing. And Jesus is the only one that can pull it off. I know a lot of people think they're peacemakers, and you can win a Nobel Peace Prize. And I've just seen some wonderful people won it. But Jesus can pull it off. He's the one that can bring a person who's cleaning toilets right here, a PhD in physics right here, a banker right here, a car salesman right here, and a 16-year-old person with the iPod and all the latest technology. And they all love each other. He does that. That doesn't happen very often. The Spirit is creating community. That's what he's about. The next one, until the Spirit is poured out upon us and the wilderness, well, until the Spirit is poured out upon us, the wilderness will become a dry and fertile field. And I pour out my Spirit on your offspring. They will spring up like grass in a meadow. Plenitude. The Spirit of God can change dry bones into living flesh. Have you ever felt spiritually dry? Everybody goes through spirit periods of dryness. And I'm talking about sometimes you don't even try. I mean, you have four children. It is hard. You know, you got a job working 60 hours a week. Financial concerns or what? You can get dry. And you didn't mean to. It just can happen. But the Spirit of God knows. He wants to work on you. If you will let him work with you, he will refresh you. It says in Acts 3:19, "Repent and the seasons of refreshing will come from the Lord." These are the times he wants to refresh you. He will come. Well, what's the formula to do it? Well, I don't have the formula. Because the Spirit is a person. You can't put it like an ATM card. "I got the Spirit ATM card. Come on, put it in there. Now I want my refreshing right now." He will refresh you. It will be beyond your wildest dreams, and it will come when you least expect it, and you will know it's from him. You won't have to think, well, this is a sociological thing that happened to me, and I know that I should be refreshed. No, it's like, Lord, that was you. The Spirit works this way, and it's wonderful. He's full of plenitude. The Spirit of God, it says he's into purification. It says the Lord will wash away the filth and cleanse the bloodstains by the Spirit of judgment and the Spirit of fire. But as for me, I'm filled with the Spirit of the Lord to declare Israel his sin. Teach me to do your will. May your good Spirit lead me on level ground. The Spirit is into purification and does that for Jesus. For example, in Hebrews 9:14, it says, Jesus laid down his sacrifice and was cleansed by the blood of the eternal Spirit. He made a pure sacrifice without blemish. You mean the Spirit helped Jesus? Yeah. He helped him make the sacrifice. He rose him from the dead, but he also helped him sacrifice the blood of the eternal Spirit. Paul in Romans 15, he says, look, I got a ministry to these Gentiles. And people said, I know you got these unclean people coming into the church, these people that have never been religious like we are. No, he says, though this is the Spirit, the ministry given me by God to bring these people in. This is the end of Romans. And he says, the Spirit of God is cleansing them. and sanctifying them. He flat out says it. He says, these people are cleansed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is a cleanser. And He cleanses the cleansed. You know, you think you might be there, and He says, well, I'll cleanse you again. When I was down in Arkansas, one of the greatest aquifers is down there in those swamp lands. Well, last year, we got like 22 inches of rain. And it was flooding and everything. Not as bad as Tennessee, of course, because it's used to water. But it was the Lord cleansed the lands that cleansed the water. He even cleansed that. He cleanses again and again. And that's what He wants to do. Do I need cleansing before the Lord? He wants to cleanse you. Do I feel dirty? Well, maybe it's just a psychological thing. You know, sometimes it is. Sometimes we're oversensitive. Sometimes you're playing a little trick on our minds. Sometimes we're dirty. Sometimes we have sin. And you know, when you're guilty, sometimes you really are. I feel guilty. Well, get cleansed. Wash in the blood of Jesus and feel the freedom of God. I will pour out on the house of David the spirit of grace and supplication. They will mourn and grieve. This is the spirit of prayer. The Spirit is leading to prayer. He pushes prayer with us. And Jesus did this. And this is in Jesus' life. Luke 10, it says, Jesus, filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, cried out and called unto His Father. Started praying a prayer. Lord, thank You that I'm not like the children get it. Thank You that the children get it, Father. But Jesus was being led through the Holy Spirit to pray. That's what the Spirit does to us. You need to pray. The Spirit will be pushing for prayer in our lives. That's how He's working. So if you feel the urge to pray, there might be something to that. The Spirit say, hey, why don't you try it? I've had to turn the radio off on my favorite song before. Now, that could be crazy, but there was time, and you know, I needed to pray right then. You know, now I forget what the song was. The Spirit will do that. It says the church prays in the Spirit. Ephesians says, pray in the Spirit. Jude 20, I guess that's Karen's, one of your favorite scriptures, Karen. I think it's Jude 20. It says, pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit lift you in prayer. Well, how do you do that? Well, I don't have the formula. He's a real person. And you're a real person. And the formula for me won't work for you anyway. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to lift you in prayer. Like a big ship, trying to float you into prayer, in the presence of God. Buoyancy. The Spirit is about ownership and possession. Possession. I will pour out My Spirit upon your offspring. What happens after that? Well, one will say, I belong to the Lord. And another one will write on his hand, the Lord's. That's the original tattoo. Now they're writing on their hands, the Lord, I belong to Jesus, to God, right there. Because of why? Because the Spirit came on me and says, now I know I belong to God. Did Jesus ever have something like this? Well, we know that the Spirit was on Jesus, and He was it marked His whole life. The Spirit marked Jesus' whole walk with God from the beginning to the end. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, it says, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Lord has put a seal on each one of us. It says, I own you. Well, I don't like, nobody owns me. Oh, I own you. It's a good thing. Because my seal means you get all the benefits of knowing me, and I'm working with you, and that's how it works. The Lord is sealing, the Spirit is possessing us. The Spirit is the presence of God. And we talked about that a little. Here's the scripture, Psalm 51. David said, don't cast me from your presence. He'd been sinning. Or take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit and the presence of God are totally related. And that's why we talk about the Spirit being the manifest presence of God or the effective presence of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling here with us, in each one individually and corporately. The presence of the Lord, what does that mean? It means a whole lot of different things. More than we can say, more than we can articulate, and it hits you at moments you don't think about it. He's working. He's dwelling with us. So much so that people have had healing. I've known people that were healed just being in the body. I didn't ask for healing. I was in the presence of God, and it just happened. I'm like, you mean you don't have to ask every time you get? No. The presence of God has all kinds of riches. When the people will lift Him up, all this stuff falls in train because He's the King. Last one, but not least, is promise. I say to these bones, I will make breath enter to you and you will come to life. This is a prophecy from Ezekiel. I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle in your own land. The spirit is about hope and promise. Joel 2, afterward I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, young men will dream visions. Jesus was glad the Spirit is coming. This is our time. When the Spirit's pouring out things in our hearts, inspirations, dreams, thoughts, insights, prompting new actions for the Lord, visions of justice. There's people going right now to places to dwell well, dig wells in Africa. Where'd you get that? Man, one day I was driving in my car. This guy in Texas I met. Lee and I were down in Texas. There's a guy going down to dig wells in Ethiopia. All he did was dig wells all his life. He said, I got to go to help those people get water. This guy's great. I'm like, why? Lord, put that on my heart. Well, it's the Spirit of God. The Lord does that kind of stuff. He puts it on your heart. It says in Romans 15, by the power of the Spirit, we can abound into hope. By the power of the Spirit. You know, it's hard sometimes to be hopeful. I don't know if you've ever been there. I was trained by my grandmother to be pessimistic at every possible moment. And it's and she's like really good. I mean, I can see everything that goes wrong. But it made me good for UPS because I could tell you everything that would possibly go wrong down the line. We'd be ready for it. But that's not a good way to live. Like, oh, man. But it says by the power of the Spirit, you will abound in hope. And I've been trying to lay hold of that. How do you do that? The Spirit engenders hope because He says, I am creating what Jesus is about. Well, Jesus, I don't have the power. I don't have the way. I'm your power. I'm your strength. I'm your inspiration. I don't have the power. Lord, rely on the Spirit of God. He wants, the last thing, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, and you can finish this one, 2 Corinthians 3:17, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I like that. That sounds good. And we know what it is, the freedom of fulfillment. Has talked about it today. It's like you start doing the law. You start doing the things that God loves without even thinking about it sometimes. You're like, I want to do this. I love to do this. Here's three prayers about law. It's like, Lord, make me do your will. Okay, well, maybe I don't like it, but make me do it. Lord, help me want to do your will. Okay, that's a step better. Well, I'll do your will. I want to. It's unpleasant. Lord, help me love to do your will. Make me do your will. Want to do it. Make me love to do your will. The Spirit is working to help us love to do the Lord's will. He's working, and I guarantee He's doing it. He will work on us. The Spirit testifies of Jesus. He's not on His own. I know some need the Spirit. And I don't know, you know, how do you get the Spirit? Well, there's two things. There's obvious things to do. You remove the obstacles of sin, grieving. Some people even need to be baptized in the name of the Spirit is the Spirit of the Messiah, and you get into the realm of the Spirit by being immersed into Christ. That's where some people are. Some people have been there. Lord, what do I do now? Jesus told something beautiful. It was a parable. He says, if you being evil know how to give your children gifts, how do you think about God? God will give the Spirit to those who ask. Luke. I didn't think you're supposed to ask for the Spirit. I mean, He just comes. Well, He does just come sometimes. But Jesus said, you know what? You can also ask for Him. So I just want to, Lord, we close out. this talk thinking about your blessed Holy Spirit, Lord. We lift you high because this is our time. May we avail ourselves to walk in your Holy Spirit this day. Heal us, Lord, with your Spirit. Cleanse us, inspire us, strengthen us with your power. Lord, some of us are hurt, and it's been a hard year so far. Would you give us power to walk this good life? Inspiration, give us hope. Lord, we thank you and ask you for your blessed peace, your blessed Spirit. And we know it's because of Jesus we can ask. And in his name we pray. Amen.